The Big Picture, brought to you by Bible Society Australia, shining the light of God's Word into every corner of your world. And Sydney's Hope 103.2, there's always hope. The Big Picture, a Christian insight on the world of film, television and popular culture, with magazine editor Ben McKechin and scriptwriter Mark Hadley.
Hey, I'm Ben McKechin.
G'day, I'm Mark Hadley, and welcome to The Big Picture for Monday, March 23. And kicking us off, we're going to be looking at kids' films this week. It's our huge kids' films special, beginning with Cinderella a little later in the show.
And we're also going to do the top five old school family films.
And then later, what your kids are watching, which basically seems to be too much TV. It all began with a little trip to the moon to look for some cheese, and then after that, the Aardman Empire began. Aardman Animation has probably been responsible for putting stop-motion animation back into business. And in fact, what with Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run and The Curse of the Were-Rabbit, we've finally come to one of their great television successes, which is a little-known sheep and his big screen moment.
Yeah, so now showing this week at cinemas, we're first going to talk about Shaun the Sheep. And we should also point out, before we get into Shaun the Sheep, what this edition of Big Picture is going to be all about, Mark. It's going to be a family-friendly, a family-focused and all-ages program. But why are we doing that?
It's important for people to understand that, you know, you don't have to be part of a family to be affected by the familiness of holidays.
Oh, man, school holiday time, yeah.
Yeah, so not only is every film that's going to be coming out going to be geared towards our sort of younger members of the audience, but you're also going to have a lot of people going to be dealing with kids who don't normally have to. Like, you know, you're going to have them at home, underfoot. You're going to want to know what they'd like to watch, what might be good for them to watch.
Yeah. So first one I'm going to kick off with is Shaun the Sheep. We'll hear a little bit from the film, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about what it's about.
From Aardman, the creators of Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run. Get ready to meet the new flock on the block. Small sheep, big city, knockout fun.
There's a small apology, actually, for the film insert this week, only because it doesn't really work well for radio.
No, it's not good radio. I can explain that a little bit more, why there were no words in that, apart from that narrator guy, small sheep, big city, lots of fun.
Why don't you tell us about the film?
We'll get to that. We're talking about the film first. So Shaun the Sheep, it's a pretty simple story. Shaun, he's a sheep. He's got sheep mates, lives on a farm. There's this really great opening sequence, this long montage that sets up life on this particular farm, and it's very repetitive. Every day is exactly the same. It's really quite funny and very well handled to establish the fact that life on this farm is routine and humdrum, and my goodness, Shaun just wants a break. Like any sheep, Shaun just wants a break. So he sets about getting the scheme of how he's going to have a break. He and his sheep mates trick the farmer, but when they trick the farmer, what then ensues, as I guess you'd expect, because this then turns into an 80-minute movie.
Wait, crazy hijinks.
Crazy hijinks do ensue, because the farmer, after falling asleep in a caravan, somehow ends up in the big city with amnesia, and Shaun the Sheep has to team up with the sheepdog, who previously, you know, they weren't on speaking terms. Well, they don't actually talk that much, but anyway, they get together, band together, and have to go and save the farmer from amnesia in the big city. Yeah, the plot of Shaun the Sheep.
A career in hairdressing, too.
Yeah, he does have a career in hairdressing.
Look, there's lots in it. As an animation, though, look, kids' films, it seems that almost every... I was going to say every second one, it's probably 4 out of 5 kids' films now are animation.
Yeah.
Is there anything particularly different about this animation?
Well, as you mentioned in the intro, this is from Aardman Animation, and they are big in the world of claymation, and so you get that fantastic look and feel that comes from these plasticine models on screen that are so painstakingly created. So one of the notable things in relation to the Pixar DreamWorks form of CGI animation is this is a form of computer-manipulated animation, but you get this much more kind of a robust look and feel, this texture to the animation with claymation. I think that's a notable thing about Shaun the Sheep. I'm sure there would be 4-year-olds in the audience going, oh, wow, the texture. I'm sure they'll be saying that.
Parent will be saying the fingerprint.
But I think the most notable thing about the movie, it's an 80-minute movie and it does not have dialogue. And I reckon those at Aardman set themselves a challenge. Can we do this? I think overall they have, and they've succeeded nicely with the universal language of noises and grunts and slamming a farm door in a dog's face.
Look, I've got to say, just from a scriptwriter's point of view, that's incredible. Now, when you can't rely on words to explain a story and you have to basically go visual all the way, then you're actually looking at a piece of art. Like, it's really well done.
Yeah, yeah. So it's nicely done. I think, though, it does feel a little bit dragged out. So it does feel like it should have been a half-hour show and it's been stretched.
Strangely, it is a half-hour show and
it has been stretched. But not too badly. So I think those who are older in the audience will have enough fun with this, be engaged enough, and I think the youngsters will be too.
Well, it's a cartoon film. They're often about, you know, understanding yourself, cooperation, getting along.
Yes, they are.
Is this what it's about?
I think less so. Actually, I think weirdly, it's more of a statement for the adults rather than for the kids, in that it is about life being a grind, and the fact that if you go about this workaday life in this workaholic world that we seem to exist in, where every person you talk to when you say how are things going tends to use the word busy whenever they answer a question. Shaun the Sheep actually speaks to this. I think I was quite surprised by this.
In a silent way.
In a silent way. In a silent way. And actually says, if you go about working with no rest and no relaxation and no pauses, you can actually lose sight of what this is all about. That happens to the farmer and it happens to the animals on this farm as well. It's really surprisingly deep.
So it's like the Lego Movie, actually, because that was a film as much as a critique of how parents might handle their kids as it is about what kids can do with Lego.
Yeah, and like getting to the God bit of the big picture this week early on in this first segment of now showing, I was left thinking about the Sabbath and about how God from the beginning in Genesis 2 talks about how God had a day off on the seventh day. He'd made the world. He had a rest. He instituted the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments, saying His people should have a rest. Rest is big in the created order that God has given us. And Shaun the Sheep, as you take time out to go to the cinema and watch it, should actually give you pause to think, why did God put rest in this world? What part does rest have in work and living and everything? And what do we lose in the purpose of life if we don't celebrate rest? And there is an amazing passage in Exodus in chapter 31 that actually says that God rested and was refreshed on the seventh day when He created the world. It's this reflection on God, actually what He got out of rest. And I think that's got a lot to tell us. And as much as Shaun the Sheep isn't trying to preach from on high, I think it's got a lot to say about actually taking a rest.
I think actually when you get a film like that, that is so subtle, so fun to watch, and yet actually has a loaded meaning, which is well worth taking on board, well, that's got to be a good film for just kicking off your holiday season.
And go back to the bit where I said that a dog routinely slams in the face of a dog, and it's hilarious. The kids are going to love that.
Every time.
Yeah, so that's now showing Shaun the Sheep is at cinemas.
Well, what are we going on to next?
What should we move on to next, Mark? We should move on to, from Shaun the Sheep, silent, engaging, animated movie, to a movie that you've confessed to me, which also is at cinemas, you've confessed to me you really quite liked. Now, the reason I sound a little bit suspicious, a little bit surprised, is it's a movie with the title Cinderella. Cinderella. So before you justify yourself to me and to the listeners of why you embraced Cinderella, let's hear a little bit from the movie.
Wouldn't you prefer to eat when all the work is done, Ella?
Yes, stepmother.
Oh, you needn't call me that. Madam will do.
Cinder wench.
Dirty Ella.
Cinderella.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you all right? Miss, what do they call you?
Never mind what they call me.
I'm sorry.
It's not your doing.
Nor yours either, I'll bet. I hope to see you again, miss.
And I you.
You have more kindness in your little finger than most people possess in their whole body.
It was my mother's old dress.
It would be an insult to take you to the palace dressed in these old rags.
You shall not go to the ball.
Excuse me. Why are you crying?
Who are you?
That's better.
My fairy godmother.
Mark, as you may be aware, I'm a professional film reviewer. I've done it for more than 10 years. I had a really long stint at a magazine called Empire. Often I'd go and see all the movies that were being released each week. When a movie like Cinderella would come across my desk and there's a preview coming and you've got to go see this latest movie that, as far as I can understand, is aimed at teen girls and their mums, the latest fairy tale movie, because we really need another fairy tale movie, I would think, do I really have to see this? And then, yes, I do. And then I'd have to try to imagine, would this really appeal to young ladies and their mums, et cetera, et cetera? In short, I used to look upon these days with sadness of going to these previews of seeing movies like this. And yet, you've been telling me that Cinderella, the latest version of this fairy tale, is actually really quite good.
Firstly, I want to thank you for the positive send-up for my review.
Yes.
Look, I got to say that Cinderella is the sort of film that I approach with that sort of scepticism. Because you might not have noticed, because of my deep voice, I'm actually a guy. And when I sit down and watch a film like that...
There was something about you. Not to go into too many details. Please move on from my remarks.
When you sit down, you are sitting there. Maybe you're a father and you've got daughters. You've got to take them along. You actually know. You've probably been through the whole fairy phase and the little princess moments. And maybe you're thinking this is one for the wife. But I've got to say that it is actually quite an engaging film. It is a classic story. You see, you've got to remember that Cinderella isn't just something that Disney came up with. It's a Grimm's fairy tale. It's been around for many, many centuries because it has an enduring story to be talked about.
But there has been umpteen different versions of it. There was even a version last year, wasn't there? Or was that Snow White? No, we had several Snow White versions.
Yes, we've been Snow Whited out.
We have.
We've had a white out.
But wasn't there another Cinderella or a version of that with Julia Roberts as the evil stepmother? Or was that a Snow White film? I'm getting confused.
Honestly, that was another Snow White.
It was. there were so many. The great year of Snow White movies. So in this year of the Cinderella movie, what makes it so engaging?
Well, Disney has had to be really, really careful because you're right in saying that it is one of those films that almost feels like it is the benchmark film for little girls' sort of fairy tale for film. And Cinderella is much loved. The animation is actually 65 years old.
Oh, the Disney original.
Yeah,
that's a great movie. Yeah,
it's incredible. And yet it's still very, very watchable. It's got, you know, singing and bluebells and birds and bibbidi-bobbidi-boo sequences.
So it is a beloved story. And as you mentioned, it is from the Grimm's original fairy tale. Do you get trace elements of that in this new version?
Yeah, this new version by Kenneth Branagh, who's basically directing it.
Kenneth Branagh's directing it? He directed Thor.
Well, this is
from Thor to Glass Slippers and Pumpkin Coaches.
This is the companion piece. If you have a boy and a girl in your house, you get Thor.
He really knows how to play the crowd, Kenneth Branagh. Okay, what does Kenneth Branagh do?
Well, Kenneth Branagh basically stacks it with great actors and actresses. So you've got Cate Blanchett, you've got Helena Bonham Carter, you've got a veritable sort
I think
of
as
galaxy.
An Australian, we're contractually obligated to say our Cate Blanchett whenever we
I will
mention
say
her.
It's our Cate Blanchett, yes. And you want to own it because, again, she disappears as an actress inside the role. She's incredible as the evil stepmother. But more back to the Grimm's fairy tale idea, this is actually a step closer to the original tale. You know, when you look at the original animation, you see basically ugly, vain-looking evil stepmother and, you know, daughters. But really, in the Grimm's fairy tale, the ugliness was all on the inside. And so it is in this film, too. It's their behavior, it's their attitudes that make them ugly. They might look a little quirky, but they're not really ugly. In fact, in their own way, they're attractive.
So there are some key differences with the Disney original cartoon. Yeah, there are other differences from that Disney kind of girl power mantra of be all you can be kind of stuff. Like, is that where Cinderella's coming from?
Yeah, well, the storyline is pretty predictable. Most people know. Most people
really
will go in.
Newsflash.
No, I think it needs to be said because there's got to be a bunch of those sort of like classic tales in which they do the twist at the end. Oh no, Cinderella actually decides to go off with her maid or something.
Oh, you
like
mean
that,
like the
Prince
movie
Charm.
Maleficent, which we conveniently have a poster behind your shoulder in shot if you're watching the video of us talking. That's right, which we placed behind you. So it's not like Maleficent where they do the remix of the fairy tale, where they do the twist in the tale.
Well, it definitely does have the hallmarks of a Disney film philosophically. It's basically very much about the...
It is a Disney movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And it has those sort of like be all you can be bits inside of it. In fact, there are these moments where in which Prince Charming is discussing marriage with Cinderella, and Cinderella, he says, you know, I basically have to marry who is chosen for me. And she says, surely your heart belongs to you. You know, that's your
good on your cinders.
But the good thing about the film is that it actually reintroduces a moral force that we have been lacking in film and storytelling for a very long time. And that's basically meekness. Now, I think that people would be surprised to actually even hear the word, even if they even know what it is.
I'm rifling through my mind of trying to think of any movie that I would describe the characters as meek.
I know. You see, because meekness has become synonymous with weakness.
Yeah.
Okay, if we see a meek character, we think they're one to be pushed around.
So but, explain to us the difference, but also okay. In contrast to other movies like, I don't know, like Pocahontas, where that seemed to be more about compassion, and then in movies like Bravery, where the theme seems to be, sorry, Frozen movies like Frozen is bravery.
Yeah.
So meekness.
Yeah, meekness. You'd think you wouldn't be able to get behind it, but the truth is that, look, this is, there's a line actually when the mother actually says to Cinderella, I'm going to tell you a secret that will see you through all trials. Have courage and be kind. You have more kindness in your little finger than most people have in their whole lives, and it has power. This idea that kindness and courageous kindness actually has power is what we call meekness. And look, Christians aren't going to be surprised because this is basically what Jesus said. You know, meekness is what is in fact going to lead people to inherit the earth. This is the quality that is going to describe the people of God most of all. Not people who go out and get what's coming to them. Not people who go out and win the day by strength of effort or arms. They're the people who actually go out and trust and serve, and this will somehow see them through. And Cinderella is completely a tale about the triumph of meekness, that there is in fact a power in submitting to the circumstances that you're placed in, serving as best you can within them, and seeing what God does. Now, of course, God doesn't make any appearance in Cinderella, but what you do have is this strong sense that there is a force behind the scenes that understands that service and submission are valuable things. And Cinder's ends up, you know, out of the fireplace, basically because she is the one who has the purest character, not the one because she has the snappiest line or the trickiest scheme.
Wow, you almost have convinced me, Mark. So in our second segment of Now Showing this week, focusing on cinemas, Cinderella is out now. It's getting the big high recommendation from Mark.
Yeah, I give it 5 slippers. Okay, well, look, we're going to move into now a popular segment for us, at least.
I know the emails have been going off the charts.
Like I
was
going to say, we really enjoy doing soundtrack because we want people
to... We should also say that people can contact us if they're like. We're not these guys in an ivory tower who, you know, like the Fisher King with Jeff Bridges, and he was in this... And now I'm just doing a reference to a Jeff Bridges movie that probably a lot of people didn't actually watch. But anyway, Jeff Bridges is this radio disc jockey, and he's in this effectively ivory tower with this massive ceiling that like no one ever really gets into. We're not those guys.
No.
We're relatable. You can contact us. We've actually got an email address you can reach us at.
I can't believe you threw that at me because I was just going, nah, and our email address is...
tellthebigpicture@gmail.com.
Now, if you send that through to us, give us some ideas for the show. Or, in fact, why don't you react to some of the things... Actually, respond. I don't like reactions.
But yeah, if you respond, or actually tell us how popular this next segment is going to be, because we really think it is. But go to tellthebigpicture@gmail.com, and you could possibly send us in a selection for the next segment, which is soundtrack.
I'll give you a real challenge. Actually, why don't you tell us what you think your favourite soundtracks are, and we can maybe preview those in an upcoming show.
Sure, we're nice blokes. We can do that kind of stuff.
This week, we're obviously talking about kids' films. And because we're talking about kids' films, I think it's time to actually visit some of them. Now,
It's time, Mark.
When we come to kids' films, I think they neatly divide into the inspiring and the inane. So let's let's start with the inane. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool.
I can understand. Everything's awesome.
It's so far so good.
And you described that as a name, but that was Oscar nominated inane, Mark.
It was in fact Oscar nominated inanity. You know, look, and I've got to say, it really killed me to pull that down. Okay, you know, in terms of the sound, because our producer Fernando was bopping out in the corner. You know, you don't want to disappoint anybody when you do these things. The problem with, sorry, there's no problem with this sort of thing, because what they actually do is they aim not so much for a song that is going to say something incredible, but one that sticks. And so, look, recently I was speaking at a children's event and a whole lot of parents in the audience, and we were talking about children's film. And I said to them, look, if everybody knows anything about children's film, they're all know that everything is. And the audience, you know, it's like 400 people. We're back. Awesome. And because this is that song that really stuck. It was Oscar nominated, and it has, basically for its stickability, but it actually has something underneath it. As a song, it actually has a line that undergirds the fact that it's good to be together and it's good to work in tandem. Now, when you have all these power songs that's all about me and it's all about me triumphing, I think I can give one small tick to a song that is all about working together.
Nice. So from Everything is Awesome to another awesome segment on The Big Picture, a regular segment that we actually started last week, and we're really looking forward to this coming up on the show from week in, week out. Now, this is Bible Society Australia's CEO and social commentator, Greg Clark. Now, he's back again this week with a question that ties in with our special this week as we're focusing on holiday viewing, family films, all ages fare. What Greg's going to focus on for Australian families is what the Bible has to say about what kids watch.
My brothers and sisters, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honourable. Well, this magnificent passage of Scripture might at first glance mean that when it comes to thinking about the reading and viewing habits of your children, you're going to be limited to The Sound of Music, Play School, and The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Most of the media our kids are exposed to is anything but true, noble, and praiseworthy. How do we guide our children so that their minds are shaped by the character of God and not the character of the fallen world? Well, the answer's not obvious, but it's certainly not found in protecting them from all expressions of evil and sinfulness that you might see in the arts and media. In fact, the Bible itself is full of extremely confronting stories and ideas that will start a lifetime of thinking for any child with an active mind. Clearly, God thinks that we humans need to be exposed to the awful truth in all its detail, in order to get us to the place of excellence. A better way to understand this verse for our approach to media is that the end point of our viewing is to value what's true and noble and pure and lovely. What we want is for our children to be so alert to the Christian view of life that they can perceive what's true, even when they're viewing what is false, that they can treasure what's lovely by being concerned and disturbed when they see what's unlovely. The journey towards that endpoint is going to require some deep immersion in the unlovely and untrue stories and ideas that the world will toss at them. But that's okay. The Christian view of the world that Paul so beautifully describes here in Philippians, it will triumph in the end and become a child's mental treasure. The job of the parent is to guide the child along the rocky, painful, and difficult pathway to get there.
That's the Bible Society Australia's CEO and social commentator, Greg Clark, and he'll be back next week with more observations about the woof and whiff of society. The sort
I'm
of
liking what he's doing science. For us, actually. I'm liking it. I think we're serious individuals that occasionally can hit the deep stuff and the meaningful stuff, and that's what
I think he actually grounds it.
I think he does, yeah.
Next week, the show will probably be his.
But his reflections on broader culture, I think, are really adding something here to The Big Picture. And if you think so, tell us at tellthebigpicture@gmail.com. Another plug for the email.
How can we go wrong? Well, listen, while you're busy sort of dragging out whatever electronic device you're going to email us on, let us take us on to our next segment, which is Press Record. Now, in Press Record, we take the opportunity to actually hear what it is that you think is particularly good. We're going to do a slightly different Press Record this week because I figured I might just put Ben, who's just become a parent. Okay, recently you've got your...
He has, yes. I'm sitting right here, yes. 4 weeks, my friend, or five, that's around, it's like It'll a month around, and a half, man. Something like
Who
that.
Who knows?
It's amazing when you count someone's life in weeks. Yeah. Like, you've been alive 5 weeks, well done. And well done to us because you're still alive. Thank you, Elodie.
Well, congratulations to you and yours. But first, what I'm going to do is test your ability to be ready for parenting. And by which I mean, can you actually understand what kids are watching? Can you understand them when they tell you what
their favorite
show is?
Mate, go back to the bit where I've been a film critic for 10 years. I've seen so many kids' movies, it's ridiculous.
Which is why I feel my favorite phrase, what could possibly go wrong, is in fact actually going to play well tonight. So we thought that we'd get you, that is you, the audience, to tell us what it is that you've been watching. And the target audience is, of course, kids. So we interviewed a bunch of kids and asked them to describe their favourite program. And I've conveniently left out the title, so you'll get a chance to guess.
Oh, this is TV programs, not movies?
TV programs.
Oh, right. I'm instantly getting off the hook a bit further. Phew.
Back out now.
Yeah. Okay, TV shows. All right.
Okay,
all right.
So let's kick off with Sienna, aged 5, and what her favourite television program is.
There's an elf, and there's a fairy, and there's heaps of elves, and there's also heaps of fairies with magic wands and toys.
Where do they live?
In a tree and castle.
And what's your favourite one like?
She wears a dress and wings.
As a scriptwriter, I'm just going to say that if that's all a child took away from a program, I'd spent weeks writing.
That's a win. So, Sienna.
Okay, Sienna?
Was Sienna describing Giggle and Hoot?
No. And you should know that.
Maybe every answer I'm going to give is Giggle and Hoot until I get to the right one.
You do realise that Giggle and Hoot is a guy and two birds?
Yeah, but. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought they were owls. Oh, she said elves.
Yes.
Oh.
See, you've got to listen to your daughter very, very carefully, yeah. Even at 5 weeks.
Sorry, Sienna.
Sienna's program was? Fernando.
Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom.
Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom.
Oh, yes. Yeah, if you give me a second guess.
Is that a second? That would have been
Ben and Holly's
okay,
Little
make
Kingdom.
It much, much easier
yeah.
for you.
Okay, next one. Put the next one on. Noah. I'm ready to go.
Noah is also five. Noah, tell us what your favourite program is about.
Well, it has, ninjas in it.
Ninjas?
Yeah.
And what did the ninjas do?
They like bad guys, and it's like Lego.
Like Lego? How many ninjas are there?
I think it's four.
Four ninjas. What colours are they?
A white one, a blue one, a red one, and a black one.
And are they funny?
No, but sometimes a blue one is.
Okay.
I'm instantly intrigued. I think he actually left enough breadcrumbs for me to piece it together, and I think Ninjago is the name of the show. Isn't that a series of Lego, and it's now a TV show?
Let's check.
Lego Ninjago.
There you go.
And yeah!
Not only you get points for win. I'll give you an extra point because you actually said Ninjago, and parents like myself were wandering around for the first 12 months going, Ninjago. But no, it's Ninjago. Well,
rookie's
done.
Mistake, Mark. Rookie's okay. mistake. So well, who's at number three for us?
I'm going to up it. I'm going to try and make it a lot easier for you because you've got your sort of like your teen look on this morning with your black cap and everything. I think since you're doing Rebellious Youth, I'm going to take you to 10-year-old Mark.
Ooh.
Okay, and 10-year-old Mark's going to tell us about
it. As in you as a 10-year-old?
No, we did not go back into a time machine for this one.
It's about two people. Well, there's one human and a dog. And they go on all these different adventures where they defeat all different, bad guys. And
how long have the heroes known each other? Have they known each other a long time?
Yes, they were brothers when they were young because I think it was something to do with adoption.
Do they like the same things?
Yes, very much.
What sort of things do they like?
They like swords and they like money, and they like playing video games.
Are they very much like you?
Yes.
Mark likes swords, money, and playing video games.
What young kid doesn't, honestly?
Yeah. Is that a show called Adventure Time?
It is.
I haven't actually seen it. Oh, sorry, we should hear it from
Mark.
Let
him say it.
Adventure Time.
There we go, you were right.
Yeah, wow, Macross is more than I expected to be. I haven't actually seen it, but I've heard reports it's actually pretty good.
Look, Adventure Time's an epic program. In fact, we've got a review up on Adventure Time on the Eternity website coming out in the April edition, so look out for that. You'll be able to see our sort of thoughts on Adventure Time there. But look, kids' programs are absolutely fantastic, and they basically form that sort of benchmark to our sort of growing up in Australia with TV. I'm going to assume that most of the people who are listening to us remember TV. Okay, we haven't all... Well, I'm saying there's so much screen time going on that live-air TV, it can actually be a really sort of like additional experience to otherwise watching the iPad or watching DVDs or stuff like that. And so when we used to sort of grow up with TV, we would have benchmark films. I don't know if this happened in your life, but I remember in mine that a film would come around on the schedule annually and the family would stop. I cannot tell you the effect that The Sound of Music had on the Hadley family. You know, that was what we were doing that Saturday
positive,
night.
No doubt.
Yeah, positive. Yeah, we were all going out.
That's what we're going to do.
We are the Von Trapps.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to hand over to Ben for his top five old school family films.
Okay, let's get straight into it. At number five.
Five.
From 1941, Disney's Dumbo.
Oh,
okay. There you go. I was looking for your reaction. All I get is an, oh, what?
Oh, no.
That's another great choice, right?
I was amazed. An elephant that can fly because he has big ears.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
But it's a great movie about the outcast, about the misfit, about someone who is teased and bullied and mocked for not being what people expect them to be. But thanks to the love of, in this case, a mum or a parent and a friend, Dumbo, the elephant with the big ears, learns that you actually do have a valuable skill in you. It's you. It's your unique offering to the world, and go forth and share it with people. Dumbo is a lovely film for all ages and deserves to be resurrected from the Disney back catalog more than some other of their films. But I think a lot of their other films are more high profile, everything from like Snow White to Beauty and the Beast. I think Dumbo can often be overlooked. So for an old school family film choice, it's very difficult to go past Dumbo. So that's number five. Now at number four.
I was
really trying hard not to do what I'm about to do, which is I picked two animal movies, and they're very similar in the storyline of them, as tends to happen in family films across
this
the ages.
This is another elephant film?
There's a lot of similarities. No, I didn't go for Operation Dumbo Drop. Instead, that's right, I'm the first person that's referenced that Danny Glover movie since it came out. No, not Operation Dumbo Drop. Instead,
I don't think Danny Glover has actually referenced that film since it came out.
No, forgetting that movie and moving on to Babe. I've gone for Babe, and I appreciate that 9.95 isn't that long ago, but however, it seems like nowadays, even by the end of this sentence, what I said at the start of the sentence is going to be outdated. Like, everything seems old school if it was about a minute ago. So 1995, people, that's centuries ago. That's like 20 years ago that Babe came out.
I think that's fair because there are kids like who clearly will have no reference point for 1995.
Yeah.
And so if you can introduce that as an old school film, that you get to slip. By the way, why don't you grab Star Wars while you're at it? But, you know, there's just all sorts of things like that you can slip in that kids really can enjoy all over again.
Yeah, but the main reason I picked it is Australian. And there aren't that many prominent Australian family films around there. It's fascinating that the guy who made the Mad Max series, George Miller, made Babe. And Babe, it's a similar story to Dumbo, but it kind of goes
Mad
off.
Max.
and kind of goes off on a different tangent, in as much as Babe, the little pig, knows that it's got skills and abilities that people don't expect it to have and gets put down and set upon, and you can never be a sheepdog, but instead rises up and proves. Well, I won't give the ending away, but for those who haven't seen it because it was 20 years ago and you've probably forgotten it, but Babe is a great choice for a family favorite film. It was big at the time and deserves to still be big. So that was number four.
Well, it's coming in at number three.
1985, The Goonies. And there are so many movies to pick from 1985 that could have gone with, such as Back to the Future, but I didn't. Instead, I went for The Goonies.
I got to say that The Goonies is one of those controversial films because...
Controversial?
The reason why I say it is because in family circles, you know, you find parents will go, like my sister, you know, she sent us down a copy of The Goonies. She said, show your kids The Goonies. It's such a fantastic... I really loved it. My wife put it in and she went, this is really, you know, it's got trepidation. It's got sort of like, you know, scary moments for kids. There are those great 80s films where in which they push the boundaries with what kids would be prepared
to watch. They were still PG rated, and everything from like Gremlins to Explorers and that back in the 80s were these films being made where they treated kids as adults but not pushing through innocence and smashing.
Well, like E.T.
That's right. Like these films that have dark subject matter. The Goonies, for anyone who hasn't seen it, is one of the best examples of an adventure film of kids being kids going off on an adventure, but it turns into a real treasure hunt. And it shows kids on that cusp of being kids, getting responsibilities, adults. There's a lot of things encroaching from the real world, everything from henchmen, from mafia bosses, to the fact that their houses the mortgages, their parents can't pay the mortgage on their house, and these kids want money to help their parents pay for their house. There's all this stuff going on, but it's an amazing film that does all these things at once, the darkness, the light, the comedy, the adventure. And it's just this rollicking story that's really well told. The Goonies is fantastic. So that was number three.
Well, we're coming down to the pointy end now. What's number two?
Two.
An obvious choice, Mark. I've come in with an obvious choice at number two on the top five old school family film list. The Wizard of Oz. How could you put a list together like this without putting in The Wizard of Oz? 1939, this time-honored Technicolor dreamboat of a movie that even if you hate musicals, you like The Wizard of Oz. Even if you hate family films, you like The Wizard of Oz. It's so difficult not to like The Wizard of Oz. The story of going on this journey, this quest to find what's already inside you, the bravery, the courage, all that kind of stuff you get with the lion and the Tin Man, etc., etc. It's been done to death in so many movies.
The dance sequences.
Been done to death, but it's done so well in The Wizard of Oz. Although I do have... a slight trepidation about recommending The Wizard of Oz, because I find it baffling the message of the movie, which I think boils down to don't run away from home, or very least don't leave home, because at the end, what Dorothy gets is pretty much what happens when she left Kansas is everything went bad and she killed a witch and then another witch wanted to kill her. And then the message at the end is, well, you should return home, go back home. But so it seems like this really fearful, forceful message. Don't leave home, kids.
But I actually think that that's a really positive thing, because the 1950s sort of vibe was, you can roam the world, you can do all sorts of things. We're looking at a society that's post-World War II. There's all sorts of things out there, and they're saying, there is a secure center. It doesn't matter how down home it is. Home is actually a really safe place to be.
Ah, there's no place like home. So as much as I thought the way they threw that message out there may have been a little bit forceful overall, I really liked The Wizard of Oz and that message of there's no place like home. That was number two, and I picked what I think is way more controversial a choice than Goonies. At number one is...
One.
Fernando, that's a great sound effect. We're never going to get over that.
No,
okay.
No, we aren't. But what we're not going to get over either is that the number one choice for top five old school movies is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Now, I got a bit of a preview that you were going to do this, and I thought to myself, wow, you have really given people something that they should watch with their kids.
Yeah, and why don't people do it more? Sorry, that's to suggest that people don't do it, but I haven't really had too many conversations with people, what movies you watch with your kids, and To Kill a Mockingbird comes up. But that film from the early 60s, and most people would know the story, most adults would know the story about this lawyer, Atticus Finch, who represents an African-American man who is falsely accused of rape. That's the backbone of the story, but it's this incredible film about parenting. Atticus Finch is quite the model of parenthood, I think, in the way that he speaks to his kids, Scout and Jem. It's a great film about growing up, and you get the film from Scout's perspective, the young daughter, and she's reflecting on these events after the fact. And it's a really good film about the power of parenthood and about someone who sees these formative elements, moments in their life, but they may not have known at that stage because you were 10 years old or whatever, that this was going to have a massive impact upon you for the rest of your existence. There were small elements from the local town they live in and big ones where you get Atticus Finch in court defending this man. But overall, what you get is a great film about parenting and family and about the equality among humans and the inherent decency and respect that people deserve, which is a fantastic thing to inform your kids about and to ingrain in your kids. And the way that Atticus Finch goes about that in To Kill a Mockingbird, I think is fantastic. Also, just as a final note to round off this list, it's a great movie that I think kids can enjoy because it's largely told from kids' perspective. And as much as there's dark moments in the film, it's very realistic and not so terrifying that kids can't work out why this is in here and what the message is that the film's trying to give. I think it's a fantastic film. So that's number one for me in old school family films, To Kill a Mockingbird.
And so, a quiet, humble, respectable Negro who has had the unmitigated temerity to feel sorry for a white woman has had to put his word against two white people. The defendant is not guilty. But somebody in this courtroom is. Now, gentlemen, in this country, our courts are the great levelers. In our courts, all men are created equal.
To Kill a Mockingbird, it just oozes integrity. Well worth watching. Big pick. Great one, mate. Well, listen, let's move on to the second stage of our soundtrack segment for the week.
Our musical interludes in Big Picture, if you will.
Now, okay, there is the inane, okay? That's often what sits behind a lot of kids' movies. You've got that sort of soundtrack that is really just about bopping along and getting the kids up and jumping around and no one's really listening. And then every now and again, there's a song that aims to inspire the audience. And the emotional, faith-inspiring theme song from The Prince of Egypt is where I want to kick that off.
Many nights we pray it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe? Somehow you will. You will when you believe.
Mark, I can't say I was terribly inspired by listening to that power ballad. Why have you chosen that, held that up in our soundtrack segment this week as an inspiring choice from a kid's movie as far as music goes?
I'm not sure that the family special has gone the way I really wanted to. First, I've been accused of being a Nancy boy of some form for liking Cinderella.
Your words, not mine.
Okay, and now, because I like Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey. Okay, look, you know, if the shoe fits. I guess what I'm trying to say is that this isn't just a song in itself. When you listen to a really good, inspiring piece of music in conjunction with a film, it lifts an ideal out of a film and leaves you with something to go away from. There are three basic different types of script. There's the chess game, there's the quest. I don't want to go into these now, but the key one that we get a lot of inspiration from is the life lesson film. And in the life lesson film, you're supposed to be delivered by the end of the film with a conviction that there is something you can trust in life, a truth, an axiom that you can take away. In The Prince of Egypt, the axiom was that you can trust in a power greater than yourself to both care for you and sustain you. And so When You Believe by Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston actually brings out the idea, undergirds that. Now, the song itself doesn't actually say when you believe in God, but the whole film does. The whole story of The Prince of Egypt is about a people who couldn't be in a worse situation, who put their faith in God and realized that in the most difficult situations, he is sufficient for them. And so this film and this song fit perfectly together. When it comes out as they're leaving Egypt, it's the perfect undergirding. And so I figure it's the perfect inspirational film. Yeah, well, you know, if you don't...
No, mate, makes sense. That's a good choice.
I don't know. I realize we've had power ballads people for 2 weeks running now, so we'll move on to something else.
Yeah, soundtrack the next couple of weeks will be rocking. Now it's time to talk about what your kids are watching, and we're in the big picture family edition, family special, all ages. We should have come up with a catchy title. I'm trying to make one up on the spot. I can't really hit it. But we have been talking a lot about stuff that all ages can watch on the big screen and on the small. Now, what your kids are watching, particularly on the small screen, we're going to talk about now. Well, it's more actually what we're going to talk about is more the fact that your kids can watch TV all the time. Now, your kids can actually watch TV for 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and let's face it, if you don't watch it on the TV, you can watch it on the iPad. And if you don't watch it on the iPad, you can watch it on the computer. And if you don't watch it on the computer, well, we've got DVD screens in our cars now. And that basically means that you can have 24-hour adventure time.
My army of friends, today we will lose this battle, but we will also win it. When the enemy charges, crumble like a cookie. When you feel their puny punches, fade like a flower and writhe in your own blood.
But how are we to believe if none of this is real?
With faith, m'lady, and ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup is delicious in the scene.
And hey, guys, let's keep the acting subtle. Less is more.
No way. First, I'm gonna fall in love with one of those little guys, and then I'm gonna fall out of love, and then I'm gonna totally fake die of a fake heart attack. Oh, my heart! My heart hurts because I fell out of love!
That show sounds great.
It's fantastic. I love Lumpy Space Princess. Look, Adventure Time is one of those classic reminders that TV is no longer television, just the one box sitting in the corner which people can turn on or turn off. My kids might watch Adventure Time on the TV. They might watch it
at the same time as on the iPad and phone.
Look,
and
the other day we're in a situation, sort of a difficult situation. One of my boys has a real struggle with thunderstorms. So I whip out the iPhone, I YouTube an episode of Adventure Time, and there he is, you know, a parent controls the situation by using TV. But I think one of the
But how much can we use TV? Yeah, how much is what role is it as a babysitter? Which it sounds like it can become more and more. I mean, people have been talking about this since TV began, but now we have so much TV and so much ready access to it. As we mentioned earlier in the program, I'm a new parent. I don't think I'm going to have to deal with this too soon. Elodie's only a couple of weeks old, but
you'd be surprised.
But and particularly for a guy who like his job is watching things, I think I might actually swing the other way and be a little bit draconian on. No, you can't watch that. Or that, or that, or that, or that, or that. Where, Mark, help me draw this line around the TV being a babysitter and the TV being educational and TV, all these things that it can be. How do you decide as a parent?
Well, I think, look, my wife and I were parents of three boys. And so, firstly, we've been able to eliminate at least half of the television world by not having to watch anything to do with fairies. Okay, but that said, I think the first thing you want to bear in mind is that all screen time is equal. Okay, now sometimes parents go, okay, I'm going to
limit. You mean as in the impact of that screen time?
Because some parents say, okay, I'm going to limit the amount of TV time they have. But if you then say, okay, you're not going to have TV time now, turn the TV off, you can go play on the computer, it's pointless.
Yeah.
Okay, or exactly the same with these other screens we might have in our life. Now, two things are very, very clear about screen time. Firstly, there is just no doubt, medically speaking, that screen time has a physical effect on kids. Okay, so for example, you cannot show complex images to a child anywhere up to half an hour before they're supposed to sleep and expect them to sleep. They actually have an effect on their brain and they excite them. They're just not going to sleep. So in one respect, we've been very careful about afternoon, evening programming. Because you don't want to, if you want kids to sleep, it's not nightmares. It's the fact that they've excited their brain to a point they can't calm down.
Yeah, yeah. And the second thing?
The second thing is that there's also a psychological cerebral effect on kids too. In terms of screen time, there's a thing called neuroplasticity. Without getting in it,
Dr. Mark.
Without going too deep, let me tell you. Neuroplasticity basically means that you can do brain surgery on yourself and on kids by showing them the same ideas over and over and over again. And so it's really important to know that. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a TV or if it's an iPad. If they're seeing stuff, or games for that matter, if they're seeing stuff that is morally in a particular direction all the time, it reshapes their moral
state. Yeah, so is this a segment now where we're actually trying to alarm parents about what their kids are watching? And so as you're right, and I agree with you, it's not about it's not the most important thing isn't the amount of time they're spending in front of the screen, but what it is they're actually watching, and because of the impact it will have upon them. And a child sitting in front of a TV taking whatever in, well, they're obviously taking it in. And so the question surely remains around the selection of programs that you're going to allow your children to watch.
Yeah, look,
right? That's the big issue.
I know you made a joke at the beginning. Maybe you're thinking because you're working in this industry that you'd be more draconian. Look, I think it's crazy to think that we can actually limit screen time altogether or say, okay, well, my child is not going to watch TV till they're five or something.
Yeah.
Because you only have to go to a train station now and realize that they're putting up huge billboards, moving billboards for kids to watch, or they're going to talk to their own kids, their own friends. So in some degree, there's socialization involved that they're going to be aware of. I know kids who are playing Adventure Time games who've never watched Adventure Time. So to some degree, the important thing for a parent is not to, as you say, be really focusing on the quantity, even though I think quantity is important. Don't hear me say just leave it on 24/7. But the quality of what it is, and another thing. And the other thing is discernment. It is never too young to start your child learning to understand that this is a construction. And this is how I did it. You know, we basically just said to our kids as a habit, what do you think that was about? And we transitioned to, what do you think that's saying? So our boys now will actually say to us after they've watched something or a film, what do you think it's saying? Well, what do you think it's saying, Dad? And we have a conversation. Now, parents, what do you get? You get maybe two or three sentences.
Yeah, and surely the art of it isn't to rip the fun out of it to overanalyze everything all the time, but you're actually arguing much more for going not in the opposite direction of just not thinking about it at all, instead think about it with your kids, what you're taking in and what it's saying to them.
What we want to create as Christian parents is kids who are aware of the world around them and are aware of the messages that are coming. And if we keep treating entertainment time as time off, and then the real life starts when you press the power button again, then we're missing the fact that these messages are coming at them. I want them to enjoy it And like Greg Clark said earlier in our program, I thought it was a really good point that I want them to recognise bad stuff and be able to say, oh, I feel sad because that is a sad situation. I feel sad because the Bible tells me that's a sad situation.
Yeah, and God's given us the abilities to equip us to respond to that, kids and adults alike. And it's a matter of engaging with that in all areas of your life, including screen time, rather than retreating for the hills and pretending either that bad stuff doesn't exist or going the other way and somehow just thinking, oh, it doesn't matter, so kids can be bombarded by stuff that like wears out their brains.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, I think what we've just done is undergird the philosophy for the big picture. The entire,
oh, nice.
Yeah, there we go. Wow, Segway. Full circle. Speaking of the big picture, what's actually coming to the big picture this week? What have we got on the cinemas?
So that was what the kids are watching during the week. What the kids won't be watching at cinemas this week, this is where our all-ages program kind of crumbles a bit because there aren't other options around for the kids. Instead, this is all adult fare. So at cinemas this week, I'm going through a quick list. I think the most prominent one will be the new Will Ferrell film. It's called Get Hard. Yep, Get Hard. No jokes or anything. Will Ferrell, he's a guy, he's a millionaire. He's accused of fraud. He gets sent. He's going to get sent to prison. And this actually sounds faintly racist to me, but this is the plot of the movie. An African-American bloke, an actor called Kevin Hart, he's recruited by Will Ferrell's character to train him up to go to prison so that he can get hard and harden up for being in prison.
Yeah, he actually makes that assumption in the film. You're black, so therefore you'll know what prison's like.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm not sure how this one's going to go. I like Will Ferrell. I think he's kind of gone off the boil a bit last couple of years. He can be hit and miss with his comedies, but if they play this one right and this is more satirical than stupid, could be pretty funny. So Get Hard's at the cinema. And then from there, it's a little bit more of a sliding scale into art house stuff. So quickly going through that, A Little Chaos is released this week. That's a film directed by Alan Rickman. It stars Kate Winslet, based on the true story of the woman who was chosen to be the gardener at the Palace of Versailles in France. So if you have any interest in gardening,
big ball gowns. It's got, if you like Cinderella, you'll probably like
this. You
saw
it, didn't you?
I actually think I haven't seen this yet.
I thought you were going to see it. Okay, well, that's how interested we are.
I was
going to
see
it.
There was this traffic jam. I don't want to go into it.
Okay. That's A Little Chaos, starring Kate Winslet, directed by Alan Rickman. And to finish it off, Infinitely Polar Bear is also showing at art house places around the place.
I know you've seen this.
Yeah, so it stars Mark Ruffalo from The Avengers and Zoe Saldana, who's probably best known for Avatar. But this is a much different universe. We're talking about the 70s. It's also based loosely on a true story of a father who was dealing with bipolar. And the woman who's written and directed this film is based on her true life story. And so it's about his relationship with his daughters and this unusual situation in the 60s, 70s of a father looking after the kids and mum going off to work. So there's a lot going on as far as politics and society and mental health issues raised by the film, but they don't really come together in an absorbing or inspiring film necessarily. So it's all there. It just doesn't really work, I don't think, entirely as a captivating portrait of someone dealing with mental health issues.
Gee, aren't you a bunch of fun for our week on Family Plus?
Well, I can't pick the slate. That's what's coming out of cinemas this week. What have you got?
Well, just assure people that Home is out, Shaun the Sheep is out, Cinderella is out. So these three are there at least if you're not looking for what the current releases are.
Yeah, okay. That's true. They're also around.
Well, coming up on the DVD release, oh gosh, I'm probably going to just take us back down there because this week, Nicolas Cage's Revelation Tribulation-based film Left Behind is coming out.
This is that Hollywood remake of a Christian movie that was made a number of years ago.
Which was based on a series of books.
Yeah.
About
the rapture event, the event of people kind of thinking what's going to happen when Jesus returns and how people were instantly going to vanish, the chosen ones are going to vanish. And yeah, there was a Christian movie made and then Hollywood remade it and Nicolas Cage is in it.
Now, Nicolas Cage actually has a brother who is a pastor in the United States and he said to him, you really should think about doing this film. And I have never seen an actor post a film try and dial back their own involvement in the film so much. Okay, but look, for those people who are wondering, the Left Behind series is basically about the sort of pre-tribulation concept of the Book of Revelation, the idea that there is going to be a thousand-year reign, and in that thousand-year reign, all sorts of terrible things are going to happen. Now, the best thing that can be said about this, okay, is that like the book series and the previous Christian film, this film relies on a poor understanding of Scripture. And that's a bit of a pity, because if you're going to spend millions of dollars to tell a story straight out of the Bible, it'd be really nice if you got it right. The problem with this sort of view of everything falling apart bit by bit is it just fails to realize that a lot of the Revelation is basically a huge picture book and has great images that are describing things, but not literal things necessarily. I'm sure we'll probably get some emails. What is that email address again?
Tellthebigpicture@gmail.com. Tell us all about the Book of Revelation. That would be fantastic.
I don't mean to offend people, but what I do mean to say is the most important thing, if Hollywood is going to have a go, is have a really good look at the source material and make sure you understand
it.
Okay, well, look, Here's the kids' release that we really want these holidays. Big Hero 6 is coming out. My boys won't let me sleep. They're counting down the days. We have to own a copy. It does not matter that we saw it twice. You know, we've already got
it. Wow, so they liked it.
It's a really good film. And so Big Hero 6 is actually really a great film for helping kids understand that there is, in fact, actually sacrifice needed for proceeding in life, or actually greatness, that in fact just getting your way, or for that matter getting your own back, is not actually enough justification to do anything. Also coming out is Battle of the Five Armies.
Now, the little last movie in the Hobbit series.
If your kids weren't going to drag you to JB Hi-Fi, and they're not sponsoring the show, by the way, but if the kids weren't going to drag you there, then probably your teens will, or those kiddish at heart. I can't say enough bad things about this film. I must say that
I was pretty disappointed too.
Just a real disappointment. So what I'm going to basically say is that there is a really interesting recut of all three films made into one film.
Of course there is.
Which I cannot actually promote, because that would be illegal to do that. But if one were to Google and look for it, you'd find a fantastic version of The Hobbit without all of the bits that Peter Jackson dropped in. Go and enjoy The Five Armies if you feel that way. Network 10 is releasing Jamie and Jimmy's Food Fight Club. Yes, Jamie is off on another food safari. The Food Fight Club is a bit bizarre. I don't really understand what's going on, and I've watched it. Okay, so...
is it like The Iron Chef?
No, it's basically... he's going to Europe and showing them how great the British sausage is.
And fighting with it?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's engaged in the battle as much as he is. Let's move on. Yes. What's also coming out this week is the ABC is launching its series Stop Laughing, This Is Serious. It's hosted by Eric Banner, and it's basically a history of Australian comedy. I figure it's worth watching, if only because you learn a lot about us as people when you learn what we laugh about. Okay, and Australians have been very good at laughing at authority. They've been very good at laughing, pointing up the problems in authority and stuff like that. But personally, we're going to sometimes ask ourselves, if we think something is funny, why? And that's something I hope the series takes care of. Haven't had a chance to look at it anymore. And a personal little plug, the fifth series of Portlandia kicks off. If you have not discovered Portlandia as a comedy,
I still haven't got into that. I've tried, but I've only seen... Because it's more like a sketch show format, isn't it?
It is. And so it's basic. It's basically set in Oregon. It's a series about modern life, really. People who are too pretentious for their own good. You know, and I always like something that'll actually...
Hipster satire.
Yeah, prick us a little bit in the conscience. Coming up in the papers, though, we've actually got some magazines we're going to plug this week.
We don't just watch stuff.
We don't just watch stuff, we read stuff as well. Look, coming up in Eternity Magazine, we really want to encourage you to look at our stuff.
Great segue into self-promotion, Mark. Okay. Yes.
Self-promotion.
I see what you
one.
Did there. What we're reading is our stuff.
Yeah. If you don't know, if you like the content that you're getting, basically you'll find that we actually write for Eternity website and Eternity newspaper, the national newspaper. We also write for a bunch of other people too, but we want to draw your attention to Eternity in particular, because we have a great expose on what cinema is doing to sex, you know, and what in fact film is doing, transitioning the way we think about sex and what's actually acceptable. Have a look at that. It's in the March edition before it gets swept away, because the April edition is coming.
Yeah.
So have a really good look at that. Also, have a look at Infinitely Polar Bear. If you like what Ben had to say a bit about when he was talking about what was coming out.
I give reasons why I was a bit,
That's really quite good too. And also, look, there's a fantastic article I really want to recommend by Sophie Timothy called Sex, Drugs, and Alcohol Hit Primetime. Now, Free TV is the Association of Commercial Television Broadcasters in Australia, and they are trying to change the government regulations to have rated M and rated MA material brought earlier into the evening. Okay, so they're trying to drop, M can't go on before 8:30, and they're trying to bring it down to 7:30. MA 15 plus also, bring it back an hour. Now, this is an amazing issue. This should not be a quiet issue. Even just go to the article to get the email address so you can write to basically the government and say, hey, I'm not so sure my kids, who are still going to bed at, you know, 7:38, are really ready for M-rated programs right in the middle of their traditional viewing slot.
Also,
Insights Magazine. I know, just
trying to work out how to do another bit of self-promotion by quickly saying, I also want to point out, Eternity Newspaper is a big supporter of this program.
It is.
As is Insights Magazine, which is the Uniting Churches magazine. We also write for that. So if you'd like anything that we've been talking about and you want to read more, in the latest edition of Insights, I wrote an article about Selma, a fantastic movie that on one of the recent episodes of Big Picture I raved about. But what I really wanted to focus on in that article was how inspiring that film is as a Christian. You don't get too many films that present a Christian on screen, let alone in a positive way, and let alone demonstrating what their convictions are, how they're based in Scripture and the Holy Spirit, and then what that led them to do in their life. And that's what you get in Selma, that great film about Martin Luther King. That's in Insights Magazine. Also, check out the cover article that's on about social justice and compassion and mercy in this world, and how Christians can not just be advocates for that, but can actually live that out in their life. So that's what's coming up on magazine-wise this week.
Well, that's all we have time for this week, guys. Well, we're really looking forward to sharing more of the big picture to you next week. I've been Mark Hadley.
I am still Ben McKechin. Please tune in next week.
The Big Picture is a Bible Society Australia production and part of Hope 103.2's family of podcasts and vodcasts.